We close on Wednesday. Let's see here. Tomorrow we have the solar eclipse.
Yep.
Today would have been perfect. Today would have been perfect. Yeah, and right now.
You're supposed to get like a bad storm or like.
Okay, like, but not till afterwards. They're not expecting it to come till afterwards.
Okay, well, that's good.
We just have to hold out until then and just make sure it's not super cloudy. If it's as cloudy as it was today, it'll be okay. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was already looking. I was like, well, when's the next eclipse? Well, the next eclipse in the northern U.S. is not even a full eclipse, and that's in 2044, but it's going to be in the north. So I'm like, well, it won't be here. So I was like, well, when's the next total eclipse? Well, the next total eclipse is in 2026, and that's in Europe. So I'm just like, if it's super cloudy tomorrow, I'm going to have to fucking go to South America to see a fucking total eclipse. Because it seems to happen there more than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah. What did you find out?
Take that, flat earthers.
What?
I said, take that, flat
earthers. Yeah. I know, right?
You're listening to The Epically Geeky Show, a place for all things geeky.
Welcome out to The Epically Geeky Show, episode number 173. I'm your host for the evening, Eugene Stevens. Tonight's opening question is, of the five emotions in the original movie Inside Out, which one would drive you? Ray.
Of course, share with me. We didn't have to talk about this one for very long. We kind of knew it's joy. Yeah. Joy's running me for the most part, and that's okay.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. I had to really think on this one, but Chris, what of the five emotions from the original movie, what drives you?
And again, we didn't talk about this very much.
It's not joy. That's for sure. it's a combination. There isn't one that does the whole thing. There's a team. So it's a combination, pretty equal, of sadness, fear, and disgust.
Okay. I was good. Yeah, I kind of have a combination as well. Well, if you remember in the movie, joy and sadness did kind of like concerns. So I could definitely see that. So, Joseph, which of the five emotions drives you?
So I misinterpreted the question, and I added crazy towards the end of the question. So which one drives you crazy? The answer that drives you crazy was sadness. Like, I don't like to be, the way sadness is in the movie, it drove me crazy, like literally watching it. But driving me, I would have to say it's joy.
Joy, fair enough. Jay, which of the five emotions drives you?
If I'm at work, I'd say anger. If I'm with my family, I could probably say anger, but sometimes, depending on which kids are around, what kind of mood they're in. But, you know, pretty much I'd say joy. I'm a lot happier than I used to be.
Good. That's good to hear. I was going to say mine was a combination of joy and anger. It depends. And I put that as in where I'm at. But now that I think about it, if I'm thinking about being Ghostbuster stuff and at home as compared to being at work, I'm going to change my answer. And I'm going to say mine is a combination of joy and disgust, because that's definitely like when I'm at work, I've gotten to the point in my life, like stuff like will piss me off, but I'm just like, it's par for the course. This is just how bad things are. So, you know, might as well go with the flow. I can't do anything about it. Right. So, mine's definitely joy for most of the time, and then when I get to work, you know, joy steps aside, disgust comes up and takes control. So,
fair
enough. So that is our topic for tonight. Who proposed this? Was that you, Ray?
I think so.
Yeah, Ray proposed the idea of casting who would play our emotions if we were doing Inside Out for us. Furthermore, he put out there, should we cast for the other people? So we may go back and do that as well, as, you know, depending on how much time there is. So just kind of keep that in mind and think, you know, who would be the best person to play Joy for Ray or for so on and so forth. So with that being said, do we want to do this? Do we want to go each individual person and list your five people? Or do we want to go by, say, an emotion and find out who everyone's is?
Let's say an emotion works.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll do that then. All right, well, that being said, would anyone like to go first? And then you get to choose what our first emotion is. Anyone?
Sure. I'll go.
All right, Jay, what is the first emotion? What is the first emotion that you want to go with? And then who did you cast to play your emotion in this version?
I will go anger. It's the most natural one for me.
Okay.
But I chose Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, is there any particular reason?
I could just imagine him doing his and all that shit in my head every time stupid shit happens and I feel the anger build up. And just every time that I internalize screaming at people, mm-hmm. I could just imagine it being his voice just so easily.
Let me ask you this. When I cast these people, I also kind of, because Joseph actually asked, well, can we cast characters from TV shows? And I basically told him, well, pick the person who played that person, and just that's kind of how I visualized them. So is there a particular version of Arnold that you would pick? Like, is it Terminator Arnold? Is it Arnold from Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty much all the same. I mean, there's not a lot of variation. I mean, it's like 1 degree of variation in his acting.
True.
It really depends on the height of my anger.
Yeah.
It can go anywhere from like Jingle All the Way, you know, put down the cookie and, you know, and stuff like that to, you know, Predator and some of his more, you know, extreme movies.
Yeah.
But, nice. Yeah, I guess as soon as I thought anger, that was like the most, like that one just clicked in my head, Arnold.
Fair enough. I'll go ahead and go next. And honestly, anger was also the first one that I cast. So this is kind of all right that I do it. I went with Nick Offerman. His version, especially when he's playing, you know, from Parks and Rec, just the way he would like yell or just sit there and fume just silently. That's kind of how I've gotten in my life a lot, is just like, you know, the other emotions would be like, okay, and are you okay? And he's just standing there just at the controls, just, please don't destroy anything. Just listen through this shit. I'm about to explode. although I will say, if we're casting anyone, what's his name that played Anger in the actual movie was fantastic. Like, he was perfect. Yes. Black, what's his last name?
Lewis Black,
the way he yells and just, because I mean, that's what his comedy was, just that was perfect casting. So Chris, who would play your anger?
So Mel Blanc, but as Foghorn Leghorn. Like, just because he's got the impatience of like just kicking stuff around and just muttering to himself and like going off. And because I don't like yelling or anything like that. But
that's a good one. That's a good pick. Ray, who would be your anger?
Okay, so I believe I have a little bit of anger, right?
It's not
a little bit of anger,
it's tiny.
But when it's there, it's effective. Yes. So I went with Joe Pesci, and I went with Joe Pesci from Casino.
That's exactly who I was thinking. When you said Joe Pesci, that's who I thought.
No, Casino.
We were like, is it Joe Pesci from Home Alone, or is it Joe Pesci from Michael Winnie?
That would have been a good one too.
See,
because that's scary. Casino, Joe Pesci, scary.
Oh, but that's the thing. It's, don't anger me. It could get scary. Anyhow, like it's it's that switch, so I keep him in check. Because he's a little guy and just chill out. It's fine. So, but that's who I envision.
Fair enough. Joseph, who would play who's playing your anger?
Much like Ray, I am not an angry person overall. I rarely do get angry. When I really get angry, it's like, to me, like how I internalize it is almost comical. So because of that, I went with Danny DeVito, specifically Always Sunny Danny DeVito. And I can just see myself in my head. And so I started blasting, you know, and that's just like me trying to process what is happening.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious, man.
Nicely done.
All right. Tell you what, I'll go next. I'm going around kind of in order. So I'm going to go with Disgust next.
Okay.
I had to really think about Disgust, and I'm just like, who would be my Disgust? And I settled on Alec Baldwin, specifically from how he was in 30 Rock. Just okay. Very, this is absolutely pathetic. I'm just very, I'm not even dealing with you anymore. I'm so far above you. Don't even talk to me. just some of the looks he would give her just kill me. That's one of the reasons that show was so freaking funny. But yeah, I would go with Alec Baldwin, just very, just exactly that, just breathing out, just like, I can't even with you anymore. Yes. Like, I'm just done. So, by the way, I still think to this day, what Christy and I haven't, we're rewatching it. We haven't refinished it. I still say to this day, Liz Lemon is Jen. Like, yes. that's pretty much the same character right there.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that feels that way. Chris, who is your Disgust?
B. Arthur, but when she played Dorothy from Golden Girls.
Oh, hell yes. That is awesome Disgust. Oh, my God. That may be the best one ever.
We've been watching it. And
we've been rewatching
Golden Girls. I relate so much to basically most, like, most of it. It's between her and Sophia. But, like, yeah, just the, Dorothy.
So are you having one of those situations, the older you get, you find you're starting to side with maybe someone you didn't necessarily the first time when you were watching a show?
I've been pretty jaded my whole life. So
okay, fair enough.
Always related to the really, like, people who have, like, you know what? I've had enough of you. That's always... But it's, like, more now. It's just compounded as I've gotten older.
Nice.
Concentrated.
There you go.
Oh, the Arthur's really tall, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Ray, who's your Disgust?
So I'm not gonna lie. So I first was gonna cheat and use Mel Blanc for all of them because, like, but then I was like, you know what? I found out that, or I remembered this character from The Birdcage. I don't know if you've seen The Birdcage.
Oh yes, I've seen The Birdcage. Who the hell?
Hank Azaria. As Eggador.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
We were laughing about that. I was like, yeah, your Disgust is a Latin gay man. Yeah.
That is so funny.
It works.
Oh God. My favorite scene is that scene where he's trying to walk it. Like, he can't walk in the shoes. And he's just like slipping and sliding. You know, for someone, like, he's best known for the voices he does on The Simpsons, but he is a marvelous physical actor.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He was also really good in
Night at the Museum,
too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Joseph, who's your Disgust?
So, originally, the first time this popped up, I don't even remember the character's name or the actor's name for that matter, because it was one specific scene in the second Alien versus Predator, and I was like, that's not enough to encapsulate. So for reference, that one specific scene is the main character, the guy that's going to save everybody. They're like huddled in a sporting goods store, and like the jockey looking character is like running his mouth, and he turns around, he's like, you're too stupid to talk, which I still think is one of my favorite lines in film ever. I was like, but it's my Disgust as I've gotten older has kind of evolved. And now I went with, well, now your stupidity just offends me. So I went with Trixie Mattel. and I was just like, oh, you, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're just so goddamn stupid. Like, that's the best way I could.
I do. Oh, that's amazing. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
That is hilarious. Jay, who's your Disgust?
I went with, God damn it, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Just his mannerisms, the way he talks about anything and everything, his voice, just that show Afterlife has some amazing scenes to it. Mm-hmm. And just the way he talks, especially if you've seen the scene about the little ginger cunt, is...
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah. He gets on a little kid that's calling him a pedophile. Calling pedo. If I was a pedo, I wouldn't touch you, you little ginger cunt.
I have seen that, like, snippet on a video.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. It's an actually really, really good show. But, yeah, him... Just his voice would be perfect for Disgust in my head.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Chris, it is your turn. You still have Fear, Sadness, and Joy.
I'm going to do Fear.
Okay.
So it's not, she doesn't do a character, it's just her voice. Her she's an Iranian actress. Her name's Shoray Andashalu. Mm-hmm. And it's the raspiest voice I've ever, like, it's just haunting. And so for me, my fear is really creepy. And okay. It's very seductive. And that's her voice. She can go really creepy or she can be really lulling. It's like a mesmerizing voice. So that for me, that's my fear.
What would I know her from?
As soon as you hear her voice,
it's iconic. So her name is Shoray Angdashalu.
Unfortunately, she was the dragon from that.
Oh, Damsel.
From Don't Damsel. Watch Don't watch Damsel.
Okay.
But she did the dragon in her voice.
But it's,
She's done a ton of movies.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll set this up.
But that's her voice is like.
It's fear.
Yeah.
Okay. Ray, who's your fear?
This was kind of a weird one for me because I'm like, fear is one thing. It's more dread that I have than fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe it. So I went with Ron Perlman as Hellboy because I think he'd do a really good job of like, all right, I got to do it. Right. Like it's okay. You just got to put your boots on. Let's go. Like, and just trudge through whatever this is coming. Like, I don't know. That's the only way I can describe it.
No, I get it. Yeah. Because I took fear a different way, and you'll see the way I went here in a minute. So, who did you have for fear?
Well, most of the time when I experience fear now, it's always erratic and irrational and just filled with too many what ifs and what this could happen, that could happen. So every time I picture this, it is Charlie Day just being Charlie Day.
That is fantastic. You went the same route I went, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a second.
That's awesome.
Okay, I have Shoray's voice.
Okay.
If you can hear it.
My name is Hayo Sana, said I will be voicing Roshan. That seems mentor in Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy as shit.
Yeah.
That's just her voice. That's what she sounds like on every day.
I believe she was the mother in Punisher.
Okay.
To the one FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
Or ATF agent.
She's Iranian. So she's got gorgeous dark black hair. She's got, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
creepy as
shit.
That's her voice.
Yeah.
God, Charlie Day, that is fantastic.
I forget it.
Jay, who is your fear?
I was using Christopher Walken. And it's not directly because of him. I mean, he's an amazing actor. And just the way his mannerisms, the way he talks is hilarious. But Kevin Pollak was on the actor. He also does a lot of voices. He was on the Bob and Tom radio channel, or it's a comedic show that's based out of Indianapolis. But he was on there doing voices, and he was talking about, it was that Halloween, he's like, you know, Frankenstein don't scare me. You know, marsupials do. And why? He's like, because they're fast. Just the way he's rationalizing his fear in that Christopher Walken voice.
Right.
It's just, I don't care how many times I hear it, I still laugh at it. So mm-hmm. when I was looking through all these, it's like, who the hell would be fear? Mm-hmm. And I was Christopher Walken.
Fair enough. I went the same route Joseph went, and I picked Rick Moranis because fear for me is kind of going through. Christy and I say we both do it from time to time. We go to we call it a fear spiral. It's just whenever it's usually you haven't had enough sleep. You're probably pretty anxious, pretty, you know, kind of, you know, overworked or whatever. And you just start going through those questions. I think someone else mentioned it. You know, well, shit, I'm not going to be able to do this. I can't afford the house. I'm not going to have money to retire. I'm going to run out of money for this. This is going to happen and blah, blah. And you start spiraling, and then you kind of have to slap the other one and be like, snap out of it. And I just picture Rick Moranis specifically the scene when the terror dog's chasing him, and he's just trying to explain it away. That's my fear is going through. Well, I'm not going to be able to afford the house, and then this is going to happen, and we're all going to die, and it's going to be it. Just like, shut up. Get out of the driver's seat. We got shit to do. So... yeah, that was going to be my fear. All right, Ray, you have either sadness or joy.
I'm going to go with sadness so we can end on joy.
Sounds good.
So sadness for me was like, again, it's I don't have it a lot, but when it's there, it's effective. And mm-hmm. I'm like, who's really effective at like emoting that kind of thing? And Robin Williams for me.
Oh, that's a good
devastates
one.
You, he devastates you, right? Like it's... I don't know. It's very effective, but it's also still endearing, and it's still he does it in such a great way. So that was my pick.
That's a good pick. That's a damn good pick.
Ray sad is devastating. It's it doesn't happen. So when it does, it's just like, oh my god,
what's wrong? Who hurt you? Joseph, who is your sadness?
So just kind of a little background here. When I first started doing this list, it ended up being dominated by what Elaine calls are the space Latinos. But I could not really find a good way to incorporate all three of them. So I did. Sadness and joy are going to be two of them. So sadness is going to be Oscar Isaacs, but specifically Moon Knight Oscar Isaacs. Because the sadness can just kind of jump around. It's not necessarily just like emotionally sad, but like disappointed. And, you know, it's like it's all kinds of different variations. And Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight kind of really illustrated the jump back and forth without having to break stride.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Jay, who's your sadness?
I had initially actually went with Robin Williams based off of his like Good Will Hunting, talking about his wife and
yeah,
you know, you've never known love, you know, like this. But you know, I was like, no, you know, I'm just gonna go with because there's different levels of sadness, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna go with somebody that sounds sad no matter what the fuck he's doing at all. Vin Diesel. Yeah, it could be, you know, just it's rainy outside. He's slightly upset or somebody killed his dog. There's no range. It's just it sounds sad and pathetic all the time. So, yeah, that was just kind of like, yeah, that could be my inner monologue for sadness.
Yeah.
Right there. But, yeah, it was a toss up between that and Robin Williams. Nice. But Robin Williams can basically fit into almost any of these emotions.
Absolutely. My sadness, I went with it's funny because I thought y'all would be like, well, he's obviously going to have this person on his list. It's just who would it be? And I went with it for a very obvious reason. I'm not like sad that often as an adult, but when I am, it's just kind of like everything's just sucks. It's just... So I had to go with the ultimate version of that, and I picked Peter Cullen because while he's known for Optimus Prime, he's also Eeyore. And it's just, okay, everything sucks. Just that low, super low energy. Don't give a shit about anything. Don't even want to get out of bed. It, like I said, it's very seldom that that happens. But when it does, it's just like, well, this sucks. So it's just, I was like, yeah, I gotta get my boy Peter Cullen on there somehow. So. All right, Chris, who is your sadness?
So I am sadness. That's my default setting. But I'm content with it. Like it doesn't bother me. Ray told me one time, he's like, I'm a sad person who's happy sometimes. and Ray's the opposite, where he's a happy person who's sad sometimes. So that, and that's a perfect way to describe me. So for me, these are just, they're just characters that's just their default, but they're like who they are, and they're completely, they embrace it, and it's like very comfortable for them. So Lydia Deetz, so Winona Ryder from Beetlejuice.
And okay.
Christina Ricci's Wednesday Addams. Like that's just.
Yep.
That's just where I, like, yeah. And the older I've gotten, the more that's what I am. Yeah. The super content to be melancholy all the time.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I love how you describe that. I'm a sad person that's happy sometimes, and he's a happy person that's sad sometimes.
Yeah, so. We are. And then when we were looking at our list, Logan was like, that really balances out. Well, yeah, it's us.
Yep. That's why y'all work, so.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, the last of the emotions is yours, and it's joy.
Oh,
who is your joy?
I thought I picked sadness.
No, but now it's your turn to pick because this is the last one.
Oh, no, wait. That's what I'm sorry. It's Joseph's. Joseph's the last one. My apologies. Yeah, that's right. He picked it. Yeah, so my apologies. Joseph, who is your joy?
So this will be the second of the Space Latinos. Pedro Pascal. Specifically, yeah. Pedro Pascal, that meme where he's eating the sandwich with Nicolas Cage. Because more often than not, if something happens between Elaine and I and we are driving somewhere, that is exactly the dynamic that is going on. Just me, just me. Looking at her smiling and everything like that, and her just like so specifically that Pedro Pascal.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I like that.
Jay, who is your joy?
This was kind of a toss up. This was actually the hardest one for me to kind of get. Mm-hmm. But I was tossing up between it's not the actor, but it's the part Shorzy.
Oh my off God.
From Letterkenny.
Oh, okay.
Just his attitude, you know, whenever he's, when he is hot, he's just kind of like August bouncing around and, you know, just kind of awkward, happy, mm-hmm. it seems. But I end up going with Kevin Smith.
Ah. Oh, okay.
And
yeah, he's definitely got a, when he's on, he's.
If you ever listen to him on his podcast, and he's talking about comics and his movies and talking about the things that he really likes to do and people he works with, he's always like laughing. He's always fun and bubbly and enthusiastic mm-hmm. and just like seems excited about what he's doing and that he actually enjoys it. And that just kind of resonated with me. So
that's awesome. Nice. Mine, I actually had to really think about this. Like my default face is this. So most people don't think I'm happy most of the time. And it's funny. We had the aide that is over with the two guys that we hang out with over at the one of the other campuses. He used to be an aide at our campus. And it's funny because he was in there one time and he hired us on the phone laughing and cutting up. And afterwards he goes, the whole time I worked over at that school, I never seen either one of those guys smile. I never heard them laugh. He's like, I thought they were like, I didn't think they were happy at all, but they get on the phone with y'all and they cut up and have. And I was like, tell him that's how we are. Like, if you want to come into our office and talk about pop culture, movies, stuff like that, we'll get energetic and we'll talk about that stuff. But if you want to talk about what's going on campus, yeah, most of the time it's not good. So yeah, it's not, we're not going to be energetic about it. Yeah. And then like when I got to go to that event to go meet Bill Murray, my other two compatriots that were with me are just like, you were smiling from ear to ear, like the whole time and just like energetic and everything else. And I was like, okay, then who's my joy? And I was like, this person, I think kind of would embody it. But he also he's normally pretty key happy anyway, but then he can go way up, which apparently I can as well. So I'd pick Jack Black. He'd be the perfect joy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a good
pull. So, because like I said, when I'm super excited about something, like I'm super excited about something, I'm happy about it. So yeah, that's who I picked for my joy. Chris, who did you pick for joy?
So joy is not a familiar feeling for me. So when it does, I kind of don't know what to do with myself, my body, any of it.
Uh-huh.
So the best visual representation was Nathan Lane's character from Birdcage. But my body's not used to it. I'm freaking out. So yeah. Like a lot of that.
That's accurate. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
A lot of the pearl clutching, like, because I don't know what to do.
I need to rewatch that movie. That movie is so good.
Oh, God. So good.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Ray, okay, getting back around finally. Ray, who is your joy?
So this is actually one of the first ones that I cast. There's two particular scenes, and I call them scenes, but they're from a show. Mm-hmm. It's Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, for me, I think it's mostly level-headed, and yeah, things are good, but when he gets excited, he gets amped up, and there's one where, like, when he's like, woo, and then, like, you know, shooting cannons off and stuff like that, that's him. And then the other one for me is when he had Liv Tyler on the show, and
that's
he got to be Frodo, and he's like, okay, I'll be Frodo now. Okay, go ahead. That's him for me. I'm like, yeah, that embodies.
I was just about to say, specifically when he gets to talking about Lord of the Rings, man is in his element.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So him talking about Lord of the Rings, or him that's like, yeah, I mean, that's my joy.
Nice. Well, we're at, I don't know, roughly the 30-minute mark or whatever. So is there anyone, do we want to go around and try to cast emotions for other people, or are there other people that we know in particular that we can be like, oh, this would definitely be so-and-so's person?
The only thing that I was going to say is I'm surprised Bill Murray didn't make it into any of yours, Eugene.
Yeah, I just didn't really see him. He wasn't the first one to come to mind for anything. Like I said, the only Ghostbuster that came up and technically one to Ghostbuster was Rick Moranis, specifically from that scene. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that's my fear right there. Is just kind of rambling, sounds very scrawny and weak. Yeah. So
I say that Anger was the easiest one for me, choosing Arnold just because of his voice and mannerisms. I almost took Cyrus. Yeah. Just like whenever we did the old podcast, and sometimes he'd get on his rants and just go and go off the deep end on shit. Mm-hmm. I kind of guess what I was thinking about, man, who could get like start off low and then just ramp it up, you know, with the rage? And I was like, man, Cyrus had his moments.
That's definitely old Cy. Like, he's definitely in a much better, like you said, he's in a much better place now. So
yeah,
it's fun. I've actually been watching his playthrough of Resident Evil 3. He's never played it before. It's been forever since I've played it, but I do remember certain little things. So he's going around sitting there playing, and he's just like, where do I get this? And I'm like, this is one of those few times I want to scream at the screen. I'm like, it was back in the other room. He walked right by. So, that's my phone.
If I had to choose Cy as anything, I'd probably pick him as for Disgust.
Oh yeah, I think he would make a good Disgust. So actually, my Disgust would be, and I'm sure he's not going to hear this, but my friend Travis would be an excellent Disgust. So yeah,
when I was going through joy specifically, I had to separate joy from excitement about something, because I felt like those were two different things. Yep. But if we were going to cast excitement, it's Chris Farley. 100%. Because I get, Elaine says that when I get excited about something, literally everything in the world dies. And that is my only focus.
Awesome. That's an interesting way to describe that. When I get excited, everything else dies. Not I don't get folks, everything else just dies. That's hilarious. Oh, well, if we don't really have anyone else. Okay, well, tell you what. We did, before the beginning of the show, we were looking up in the new movie that's coming out, and it's kind of what brought this up, is the fact that they're going to have to retcon some stuff. If you've seen the original movie, these were the five original emotions, and they're adding new emotions to it. And so, like Joseph brought up, he brought up the same thing the rest of us geeks all thought. Well, then are these emotions not there when you're an adult? Because they show like the adults, and none of them have it. So what's going on there? But we could just kind of run through here and just like look at some of them. Some of the other ones that they're adding is, the first one is anxiety. Oh,
Nicolas Cage.
That's awesome. See, I would, if we were doing both of these, I almost would move Rick Moranis to anxiety. And I'm trying to think who my fear then would be. But I'll be honest with you, anxiety really fits me better than fear does. Like, because it's more of like an anxiety attack that I'm having than a sadness attack. You know what I'm saying? So does anyone else have something that kind of sticks out to them for anxiety?
I feel like Charlie Day could do it. Or just like y'all were saying, Robert Williams can jump around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the other ones was embarrassment.
See, I could see Drew Barrymore doing a good embarrassment.
Yes, she would be a good embarrassment. I'm trying to think, who would I pick for embarrassment?
That's a rough one.
That is a rough one. Because honestly, I don't get that embarrassed anymore as an adult. Hell, I especially if I'm in my Ghostbuster suit, I'll be very honest with you. And I've told lots of people this. I'm like, I'm a different person when I'm wearing this. Like, I don't really have a problem talking in front of people anymore. But if I've got my suit on, shit, I walk up to anyone and everyone and talk. Like, it's not a problem for me anymore. It's almost literally like putting on a superhero costume and getting into a different mindset. Because, you know, it's just normal me, it's like, well, you know, whatever, I'm gonna go ask some questions and find some stuff out. But usually if I'm at an event and I need to know something, I just walk up to people and be like, hey. And I literally, we actually have these badges made that say staff on them, and they're clearly marked Ghostbusters, but you know how people are. They just glance down at something and look at something. That's one of the reasons we wear it, because I can't tell you how many times I've walked around an event with that tag on, flashed it very briefly and just said, where is whatever it is? And they're just like, oh yeah, it's over there. Just let me through. No questions asked. So, but yeah, embarrassment, I would have to really think about. Envy. This is something that I don't really experience that much as an adult. There is a specific thing that I am envious of. I don't really want to go into it too much, but there are some people who have gotten to do some things, some high level Ghostbuster stuff. And I'm just like, them? Really? He got to do that? He got to do that, huh? I raise money every weekend, almost every weekend, for a charity. And, you know, I have to run this group. And I mean, I enjoy doing it, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, yeah, okay.
I picture like Draco Malfoy as like Envy.
I know, right? Yeah, that's actually a good one. So, anyone have anything that jumps out for them for Envy?
I'm still trying to work on embarrassment.
Okay. You're still stuck on the first one.
Yeah,
I was thinking Dana Carvey as Garth.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a good one for that.
Yeah, that'd be good anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wayne for Joy.
Actually, that's a good pairing. Yeah. And then, like I said, Envy, the other ones were Envy and what did Chris say? ENNUI on.
Oh, I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically boredom. And I mean, I do experience it from time to time. I'll be honest. This causes that to not happen anywhere near as much as it used to. And I was holding, for the audio listeners, I was holding up my phone, you know, because it's really easy to just be like, well, nothing's going on right now. Pull out the phone and, you know, look something up or, you know, check social media or whatever. So I see why they were bringing this emotion in particular for a teenage person, because even with all the access they have to everything, the boys will still be like, I'm bored, and I'm just like, I would kill for the things y'all have now. Like, you have no idea. So
there's two voices that come to mind when I'm thinking boredom. Boredom for me would be Bill Murray would do a good boredom, because Garfield, you know, that kind of thing. But the other one that I'm thinking of is Ron Burgundy. It's too official. It's like, no matter what's happening around you, it's just too official and too, like, I don't know.
Well, so when I thought of boredom, the only time I truly experienced boredom is at work, specifically when we were in a meeting that definitely could have been an email, and I'm just sitting there, you know, like, this is awful. And the only thing that truly embodies that is, depending on how you want to look at it, Mary-Kate, Ashley, one of them, but Michelle Tanner from Full House, there is one specific episode where they're having a barbecue in the backyard and her dad is talking, and they're like going into everybody's head to see what they're thinking. And when they get to her, she's just sitting there like, boring, boring. Why is my daddy so boring? And that is literally in every single meeting. It's like, you could have just emailed me. Like, yeah. Why do I have to be here right now?
Ben Stein would be the other one.
Oh, yeah, he would have been. Oh, yeah, he'd be a really good. Yeah, for that one.
Mueller. Mueller.
Oh, what is. Yeah. Where is he? Why is he so far down here? I thought of someone and I can't. For the boredom, Aziz Ansari, specifically when he's whining. That would be my boring. You'd be like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here.
That's fair.
So. Just that annoying voice. It's like, I'm bored. I do not want to be bored. There's probably other things that I could be doing right now. I don't want to be doing this. Please let it stop. And you're right, Joseph. That's a major part right there when you're in the middle of a meeting and you're just like, oh, this could have been an email or not even that.
Yeah.
So
my company likes to pull every team together and they go one by one in their monthly stats of revenue, profit, gross profit, margin. And we just, and there's no rhyme or reason as to why, because they literally will send us an email every single day tracking that information. But once a month we get together and they tell it to us all.
Did you see that meme that said something about like the US is looking at banning TikTok and Teams was right there?
Yeah.
And you totally missed it. Like, I'm just like, yes, let's get rid of Teams. So, but. All right, well, I guess that's pretty much it for our episode this month, ladies and gentlemen. Just real quick, we do have our first ever promotion here on the show, and that is Magic Mind. So they reached out to us a couple weeks ago and asked if they want to do a promotion with us. So they sent me some of the little bottles that they have of Magic Mind stuff, and it's all organic, it's all natural stuff. That was the key thing was. Their founder like literally went to the hospital. He had really high anxiety. He was overly caffeinated. He was just drinking way too much coffee and stuff like that. And so he's looking for a natural way to give himself a boost without, you know, putting in all the caffeine and everything else. And so they created Magic Mind. So they sent me some of these little bottles and, I started taking them in the morning. It said that's probably a good time to take it, to kind of help wake you up. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people. I'm one of those people that, more often than not, if I get up and wake up and maybe go to the bathroom or something, I then have to be like, right, go back to sleep, because my body will too quickly go, all right, we're up, let's get going. So that really wasn't a thing for me. So one day while I was at work, like Joseph was talking about, I forgot to take it in the morning, and I got to the mid-afternoon, and I started, now this is where it does get me, is the sleep monster will want to come grab me in the middle of the afternoon and try to wrestle me down for a nap. And so I thought, you know what? Let me take one of these right now. And I'll be very honest with you. That's when I've noticed the difference. I've never been an energy shot type of person, but I can feel it picking me up and keeping me going the rest of the afternoon. So that's when I've started taking them. About 1 o'clock when I notice starting to get a little on the tired side, that's when the best time for me to take one of these little Magic Mind shots. And the other fear that I had when I first started out with them, they're, like I said, they're all natural, they're green. And I was just like, oh, this is going to taste like grass in a blender. And it doesn't, it tastes perfectly fine. Cause I'm definitely not one of those people that can do the whole, the shake that's, you know, all natural and everything. But no, they taste good. And I have honestly noticed a difference in the afternoon. So if you find yourself needing a little extra focus, you find yourself needing just that little bit of kick and you don't want to keep doing those 5-hour energy shots and stuff like that, cause you notice you're getting jittery and jumping and stuff like this, this is probably the way to go. So do yourself a favor and go check them out at magicmind.com. All right, let's go ahead and move into our picks and pans. Would anyone like to go first? Chris, you're energetic about this. What is your pick and or pan?
That's the joy.
Ooh, I didn't know what to do.
Right.
So my picks, I don't have any pans.
You don't have to have a pan.
I know, but normally I do. something to complain about. So Logan, we went prom dress shopping. And it was a day. We had a day, but we were successful. and it's gorgeous. It's this mermaid cut olive green. She's wearing it right now. That's why it disappeared, because she came down the stairs in her dress. It's gorgeous. And it like fits her off the rack, fits her like a tee, no altering. Yeah. It's gorgeous. She looks like $1 million. She looks like she's...
I do look like a dollar.
She does. She looks like a
dollar. Oh, we found, which is
we
the best
found part, it. So. It was great. We, you know, it's a, mm-hmm. it's a lot to go shopping like that for prom. And prom's not for another 2 months, but you have to do it now. Or else.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He's taken, but it was a lot of fun. And Ray picked up the dress.
Well, good job, Dad.
Yeah, it was hilarious because she's like, go pick up ugly dresses. And so he just started grabbing shit.
I grabbed one ugly one that I'm like, okay, this is terrible. It was this red dress that like would,
it was a terrible cut.
It was anyway, I'm like, here, you want to have fun? Here you go. But then I grabbed a few others that I thought might be nice on her. Yes. Well, and so,
that was the one that she's got on right now that we paid and that we got, and she looks beautiful, and it's something that she's not going to
be able to wear.
You'll be able to wear
for other things.
And then, so as we've told you guys before, in Ontario, we have a graduating driver's license system. So there's mm-hmm. G1, G2, and your G. So Quinn, and you're eligible to do your G1, which is just a written test, when you turn 16. So Quinn turned 16 on the 30th, and that was a Saturday, and it was Easter, so we had to wait. So on Friday, he went and he took it and he got it.
Yep.
So he's got it. And then Logan, a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, your G2 test is a road test. Mm-hmm. And she got it. So she's on our insurance and holy shit.
Yeah.
It's a doozy. It doesn't go down until she's 25. So she's been driving a lot. She's actually pretty good. Pretty good driver, way better than I was at that age. It's just really cool that we now have everybody in the house is a licensed driver. Quinn now does have to do driver's ed though. Yes. He does have to do that.
Yep. Oh, good.
It's just a trip. It's a trip because I was hanging out with some new people, some new friends, and I am about 10 years ahead of where they all are, even though I'm only like four or five years older than they are. Right. So I kind of experienced what Jay's experiencing with him being a grandpa and everybody his age is not. And yeah, it's a trip to be like, I remember when my kids were six, but I don't.
It's weird.
But that was it. Those were my picks. And now she wants to go. We're going to go video call. Do you want a video call, Amy? Oh my God.
I just texted her to call or text Logan.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to do that.
We're going to go.
Oh my God. Okay.
If you hear screaming, I'll try and mute it.
Oh, nice. I'm going to get hit with two boys driving at once.
Eight time.
Oh my God. My insurance is going to go through the roof. Ray, what is your pick in or pan?
I have a couple of picks. So prom dress and licenses are obviously on there. So
obviously.
And then we got the eclipse tomorrow that we're going to go and check out, which is kind of fun too. And then I've got the week off and I'm going to go and try and build some stuff for the house and we'll see where I get. So I'm going to enjoy this week, do some stuff around the house. And yeah.
Cool. Good deal. Yeah. Joseph, what's your pick and or pan?
So I have a pick and a half, I guess, and one pan. So the pick and a half would be Helldivers is a fantastic game. If you have not played it, cannot recommend highly enough. The half comes from the try not to say this as a question. I think I'm Quinn's friend because Quinn and I have played a couple times now, and it's gotten to a point now that we're like yesterday I was playing with a couple of my buddies. You could do a 4-man squad and we were three of us and they're like, hey man, does your friend Quinn want to play? Like bring him in. Like he's a good addition. Like we round out the team real well. And so, I think the only interactions I've ever had with Quinn is like when he pops in the show here. So just knowing that like, I texted him yesterday. He texted me this morning. He's like, hey, I'm going to jump on. Do you want to play? Like, absolutely. Let's go do this. Eugene, you got to convince one of your boys, well, Alex specifically, because he has a computer to get the game, just to give it a shot, man. And
all right, I'll talk to him.
It is so much fun. The pen is gravity right now. That is my pen. I have a softball season coming up that I'm gonna be playing with some friends. Mm-hmm. And I have decided that I don't run enough out here, like, to be in good cardio shape. So I can't run throughout the day. That's just not what it does. And I will run 3 or 4 days out of the week after work, but I wanted to incorporate some more in there. Walking up, so I've decided last week was 2, this the coming week will be 3 times a day, walking up 12 flights of stairs to get to my office in the high altitude with low oxygen. Gravity mm-hmm. sucks. I will get to my desk and I will sit down, and one of my coworkers the other day looked at me, he's like, Are you dying? Like, what's going on? I was like, I swear I'm in at least a little bit of shape. I work out, I swear. But something about walking up those stairs in my office building, the stairwell is probably no bigger than the patio I'm in right now. So it's very, like, closed mm-hmm. in and whatnot. But on the flip side of that, I went for a run the other day and I was like, I think I could take out that tree. Like, I felt like super hyped about what I was doing. And then I went about 5 steps and I was like, my legs weigh 1,000 pounds right now. This is bullshit. Gravity is my pen.
Gravity can suck sometimes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
gravity with low oxygen.
Yeah, that's kind of a big thing mm-hmm. too. So.
Oh, that first time I got up, I sat down and I was like, okay, I'm trying really, really hard not to like be Bugs Bunny cartoon and see stars right now, because the like yeah. someone give me an oxygen tank. I like one of those football players that need the little mask.
Yeah. So I can feel what you're talking about, because in my old job, I have to wear a plastic suit. And so you are isolated from the outside air, and you'd have to get unplugged. And you have, they say, about 30 seconds of air in your suit. Sometimes it takes you longer to get to where you're going. And so climbing up those stairs with that suit on and you're carrying your hose and all this stuff, I know what you're talking about, because I did start seeing stars and stuff, and there's nothing better than plugging back in and being like,
yep.
Yeah, breathing tends to be on the positive side. Yep. Damn. Jay, you have a pick or pan for us?
Oh, man. Going back to work as a big pan. I'm just not all for that, especially with all the OT. The mandatory training, all the different stuff that I got coming up in the next month to 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm way too old, way too fat for some of this shit anymore. It's, but it's required.
You can always just, hey, listen, I'm a grandpa, so fuck up.
I get why we have to do it, but like, I used to box. I used to wrestle. That was 23 years ago, roughly. Mm-hmm. And now I get to go and I have mandatory jiu-jitsu for 8 hours. And they're like, we're going to teach you all this stuff and you have to be proficient in all of it before you leave that day.
For 8 hours down.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. Last year it was 4 hours. This year it's 8. State standards changed. And like they were like, gave me a diagram. Hey, you know, if you have any surgeries, any injuries, mark them down. Mm-hmm. I was like, can I just mark the things that I have not hurt?
I know.
It'll
right?
be a lot. There'll be a lot less things. And, you know, and it's just, it's part of the job. I mean, it keeps me safe. And other people. So, I mean, I know why it's there, but fuck, does it suck? I mean, back whenever I was in a lot better shape, I would have done it no problem anymore. It's just fuck.
Yeah. I have to really stop myself from doing the thing, because I used to tell people this. People, you know, be like, I don't recommend getting old. Getting old sucks. And I have to stop myself from wanting to say that, because I'm just like, my immediate thing I would reply back to people were like, well, it's better than the alternative. And I keep that in mind. So I'm like, well, don't complain too much, because it could be worse.
Oh, yeah. And I've, ever since my dad had that massive heart attack back in like November, mm-hmm. My kids have been on to me about, hey, you know, your old ass needs to get all your stuff checked, all this blah, blah, blah. And from what my doctor said, I'm actually, other than being a fat ass, not too bad, you know.
Yeah.
Everything is where it's supposed to be, you know, heart rate, blood pressure, good, bad cholesterol, all that crap. Mm-hmm. I just need to drop some more weight, and which is kind of hard with all the irreversible damage I've done to my knee. I can't do a lot of things anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've been on to me about that, and it's like, yeah, you know, my mother's, I think it's her cousin, died at 45 from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Her two brothers had heart attacks in their 40s. So it's like, the history of heart disease is just super bad on that side of the family.
Yeah.
And then with my dad's widowmaker heart attack, and because, I mean, he had his scan in like July, June, and it said that he's fine. Then he had 100% blockage by November.
Wow.
And, I mean, he died twice that day. Jeez. So, yeah, it was bad. They had to bring him back two times. But, yeah, ever since that, I've been trying to focus on healthier shit like I used to, like when we had Guys Weekend.
Yeah.
And we were both in, you know, shape.
Yeah.
better, that's been a while. Better shape. Yeah. So been focusing on that. But yeah, old age and work are our big pans right now.
I totally get it. Totally get it. I actually have four picks. What do you know? I've got lots of joy going.
Brighten the mood.
I know, right? The first one is like Ray said, I am in the path of totality tomorrow for the eclipse. We're supposed to get over 4 minutes of total eclipse. The problem is the pan is it's possibly going to be cloudy. Now, of course, cloudy can mean anything from there's some clouds to completely overcast. So there's not like there's anything I can do. I'm just going to have to see. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that I just want to see the damn ring of fire. That's all I want. I just want to see the ring of fire. I am kind of excited about that. The second thing is coming Wednesday, I am closing on my house finally. So this should be the last episode that I record here at my mom's house. You can tell there's a different background going on here. So the next time you see me on a show, there'll probably be nothing behind me, or it'll be very empty because I'll be in my new office, but we'll see. So I am excited about that. The other two things are I just finished. This is an interesting pick. I just finished Foundation on Apple Plus, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show, and I went online. I don't want to say I made the mistake, but I went online to see, well, does this match up to the second book? Like, did the second season match up to the second book? And apparently it doesn't. Apparently the TV show is similar enough to the book that it has the name Foundation. And that's about it. To the point, people are literally calling it blasphemy, and it is an abomination to Isaac Asimov's original, you know, ideas and stuff. I'm just like, oh, okay. So I don't think I'm going to read the books. I kind of had a situation with this on our last book club. I don't think I'm going to read the books on Foundation yet. I guess I'll see how far they go with the Disney or the Apple Plus series, and then once they're done with that, then maybe I'll go back and read the books. A little bit kind of what was happening with Silo, because I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll go back and watch Silo. Nope, I might want to read the books. I don't need to watch the series because two different animals going on there. So, and then my last one, of course, since the last time we talked, has to be Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I've come this close to pulling the trigger on doing an episode on this show about do critics still matter? My personal opinion is no, or very little, because it's got like a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's got like an 86% for audience score, which tells you this movie is not for me personally. This is not the type of movie I go to see if it falls apart in the third act because the writing was choppier. I'm there to watch Ghostbusters. Okay, was Ghostbustering happening? Yes, it was. I enjoyed the movie. Go see it if you haven't seen it yet. It is a fun movie to watch. I actually had the pleasure the other day. We took the libraries in our district for the high school. If the kids read so many books, they got a party, and this is what they did. So they went to the movie theater in Cove that I used to go to, and they watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And then they got to play games and stuff afterwards and eat pizza or whatever. Anyway, they asked if I wanted to go, and I said, sure. So I went in full uniform and took pictures with the kids. They had a blast. They started clapping at the end of this movie. And I'm just like, people don't do this. And the fact that these kids are doing it without being prodded, I was just like, and then when they were coming out, I asked them, you know, what do you think? And everyone, except for one, of course, there's always one contrarian, really liked it. And I'm just like, and it's funny because there, I see these posters so often on some of these Ghostbusters forums. Well, this movie wasn't for us. This movie wasn't for us. And I'm like, oh, and I specifically, I don't usually leave comments, but this time I did. I was just like, I'm 46. I've been a fan since the original and I liked it. And my two 12-year-old boys also liked it. So quit trying to make this a generation thing. Just because you didn't like it doesn't mean everyone else in your generation didn't like it. Like, sorry, dude, not everyone thinks just like you do. Unfortunately, you might be in the minority, and that's okay too. But yeah, it just, like I said, I have lots of thoughts about whether or not critic reviews still matter and are a thing, but it is what it is. So, well, that is our show for the month, ladies and gentlemen. If you would please give us a review on, I got to think about this, iTunes and I guess YouTube. I guess those are the two biggest places that you get podcasts now, because Google Podcast went away. That was a conversation on some of our chats earlier this week. So if you, I don't even know if you can still get it at this point. I'm not sure when they're officially shutting it down.
It's weird because it's still up in Canada.
Okay, so if you can still listen to Google Podcasts, go ahead and listen to it here. If not, make sure you listen to some stuff and find out. You may need to be finding a way to get the show at other different places. I know you can still get it through iTunes. I know you can still, or through, you know, Apple Podcasts. But you can definitely still get it through YouTube. YouTube is doing podcasts now, so I guess those would be the two major ways to get it. You can always go to our website, epicallygeeky.com, where you can find the rest of the shows that we do, including Creatively Geeky, Sustainably Geeky, and Marginally Geeky. We're kind of back on a pretty regular schedule, so do expect episodes almost every week, you know, one of the new episodes from the different shows. You can find us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Epically Geeky. Where can we find you online, Ray?
The Reluctant Yeti on Instagram.
Joseph?
Pissing off my cousins, I took all the good usernames.
Jay, are you on social media
still? You kinda. One Jay Red on Instagram. It's linked to my Facebook, maybe still.
I know, right?
I'm banned from Facebook for like 30 days because of something I shared like 5 years ago. So who fucking knows?
Yeah, it's so crazy. Our Ghostbusters channel, or our Ghostbusters site, got banned. Luckily, only for a day. But there are groups that have been like never got their things back. And we've talked to some people who used to work for Facebook, and they're like, "Yeah, basically what they did was the entire department that used to manage like dealing with bannings and stuff like that, they let go. So it's literally just an algorithm running wild. And if you get banned, you basically let us know, and hopefully you get a hold of someone and they you know, reinstate it." So it's so crazy. So anyway, but if you want to try to follow my individual wacky adventure, you can find me online at Optimus Machine on Facebook and Instagram. I've given up on X or Twitter or whatever the hell you call it. So for everyone on the site, have a good night.
This has been a presentation of the Epically Geeky Network.